Yeah, so some of you did hear this message from the rally, but that's okay. I've tailored it a little bit, changed some things up. Some things are the same. But and some of you have heard this joke, but I'm going to share it anyway. I actually stole it from my dad's. It is one of his, but Captain Bravo. Long ago lived a seaman named Captain Bravo. He was a manly man's man who showed no fear in facing his enemies. One day, while sailing the seven seas, a lookout spotted a pirate ship, and the crew became frantic. Captain Bravo shouted, "Bring me my red shirt!" And so the first mate quickly retrieved the captain's red shirt, and while wearing the bright red shirt, he led his mates into battle and defeated the pirates. Later on, the lookout again spotted not one, but two pirate ships, and the captain again shouted for his red shirt and once again defeated the pirates. That evening, all the men sat around on the deck recounting the day's triumphs, and one of them asked the captain, "Sir, why do you call for your red shirt before battle?" And the captain replied, "If I am ever wounded in an attack, the shirt will not show my blood. Thus, you men will continue to resist, unafraid and full of courage." All of the men sat in silence and marveled at the courage of such a man's manly man. As dawn came the next morning, the lookout once again spotted not one, not two, but 10 pirate ships approaching. The rank and file all stared in worshipful silence at the captain and waited for his usual reply. Captain Bravo gazed with steely eyes upon the vast armada arrayed against his mighty sailing ship, and without fear turned and calmly shouted, "Get me my brown pants!" It's a little more laughter than I got at the youth rally. One girl clapped, and I thanked her for the pity clap. But the title of my message this morning is "What is True Courage?" We have examples, many examples in the Bible of both men and women who have displayed and lived courageous lives, such men and women as Noah, Abraham, Moses, Deborah, David, Naomi, Ruth, Esther, Daniel, Mary, and Joseph, John the Baptist, Stephen, who was the first martyr, Peter, Paul, and the list goes on. But this morning, I want us to take a look at one courageous leader in particular, and his name is Joshua. And we learn about Joshua's life starting in the book of Exodus under the leadership of Moses. Joshua became an apprentice of Moses. And so this morning, I just want to give us a little bit of a background to who Joshua was before he led the Israelites into the promised land. In Exodus 33, just a little side note, I really appreciate Todd. I send him like all my verses and little quotes and things, and he creates this cool display always for this little PowerPoint. So thank you, Todd, for putting that together. Appreciate it. But it's usually like last minute, "Hey, Todd, can you throw this together?" And he does a great job. So, and he always comes up with the background. It's really neat.
Todd, never die or leave.
Yes.
Amen.
He would be in trouble.
Yes. So in Exodus 33, Moses put up a tent where the presence of God would come and dwell. And in verse 11, it says that the Lord would speak with Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. And then the passage goes on to say something very important. It says his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent. Joshua knew the importance of staying in the presence of God. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later on in the message.
You know, I just want to interrupt once.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Because it's really cool. But where did you get that from?
When I was reading it, it just stood out to me that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because since I was a kid, that passage was stood out to me. And I have often thought about it and you know, Joshua lingering in the presence of the Lord, not leaving, and it influenced my life. And did you ever hear me talk about it?
Mm-mm.
Talking about passing on to your kid. And now that means something to her, that passage. It just struck me.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
And I remember even getting to the book of Joshua and remembering that particular passage about his life and how important that was for establishing the leader that he became. And then in Numbers 13, Joshua was sent out by Moses along with 11 other leaders from the tribes of Israel to scout out the land of Canaan, the promised land. And it was only he and Caleb that came back ready to conquer the land, to take the land that the Lord had promised them. And then in Deuteronomy 31, we're coming to the end of Moses' life in the commissioning of Joshua to take his place as the new leader of the Israelites. And the Lord says to Joshua in verse 23, be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I swore to them, and I will be with you. And then this brings me to the main text this morning, Joshua 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. If you have your Bibles or your devices, Todd's got it up there. So it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness in Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it, for then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so, Lord, we come here this morning. I pray that you would encourage your people this morning. Encourage them to step out in faith, to trust in you, where maybe they have lacked faith or lacked trust. I pray that you would strengthen that this morning, that we'd remember who you are. In your name, amen. When I think of this sort of speech to Joshua, I picture the movie Braveheart with Mel Gibson. And we might not show the whole video, but where he's lining up and he's giving what we call the freedom speech. Do you have it, Todd? I think of like, I know it's just what I picture. I don't know why, but. Yeah, no. That's all right if we can't get it. William Wallace, everybody knows the story. It's hard to hear. But this is sort of what I picture in my mind happening here. And even Joshua speaking to his people about, you know, we're going to get ready to cross over and take the land. I kind of picture this here's for leader. And at the end he says, you know, you may lose your lives, but they can never take away your freedom. Anyway, it's a little, I don't know. But anyway, so in these 9 verses, the Lord says to Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous. And we see it in verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous because you're going to give out the land to the people that I promised to your fathers. And so when I think of that verse, I think, hey, it's go time. It's not a time to sit and be idle anymore. Now is the time. It's time to act on the promises of God. And then we get to verse 7, and he says, Joshua, above all, be strong and courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction that I gave your servant Moses. And then you will prosper, then you will succeed. So it's most importantly, be strong and courageous in keeping my word, in keeping God's word, and then you'll have and know what a successful life looks like and is. And then in verse 9, he says, you know, be strong and courageous. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Meaning, be strong and courageous, Joshua, because you're never going to be alone. And 2 more times throughout the book of Joshua, the Lord reminds him to not be afraid or discouraged. And so my first point this morning is be strong and courageous. It's go time. There's no more wandering in the wilderness. There's no more sitting back and waiting for God to do something. God was saying to Joshua, let's go. Time to get up. Time to cross that Jordan. The Israelites, with Joshua as their leader, were about to go into battle for the land the Lord had promised to give them. This was not Joshua's first time going into battle, but it was the first time he was doing battle for the promise. And so in chapter 6 through 12, we read about Joshua and the Israelites going into battle, battle after battle after battle, starting in Jericho. We know one of the reasons why the Israelites were afraid to go forward into the promised land because they knew what lied ahead of them. They knew what they were up against. And we know this because several years prior, Numbers chapter 13, we read about how Moses sent Caleb and Joshua along with the 10 other leaders to spy out the land to see if they could take the land. And Caleb, he came back and saying in verse 30, let's go up now and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it. And then in chapter 14, he and Joshua say, the land we passed through and explored is an extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land, for we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the others came back with a different report. And they're saying, we can't attack because they are stronger than we are. The land we pass through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants. And we saw giants. That's not just a metaphor. There really were giants in this land. They were descendants, I think, of the Philistines. Goliath of them. And they were literal giants. And alongside them, we felt like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them. So then they went on to complain about their leaders, Moses and Aaron, the Israelites did, which is kind of typical of when things go wrong. We tend to blame the people above us, saying, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us into this land to die by the sword? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And then God responds and says to Moses, how long will these people despise me? How long will they not trust in me despite all the signs I have performed among them? So their fears and their lack of faith and trust kept them from moving forward into the promised land. Mark Twain says, courage is not the absence of fear, it is acting in spite of it. In our own lives, God gives us promises. He gives us a purpose to fulfill in this lifetime. And sometimes we think all we need to do is just sit back and wait for those promises to be handed to us. And instead of waiting around and sitting idle, God is wanting us to step out in faith and trust, which more often than not requires courage to do that, knowing that as we are faithful in doing our part, he will be faithful in doing his. But if we allow the giants in our lives to overshadow the promises and purposes of God for our lives, that's when we get into trouble. That's when we stop moving forward. And sometimes when we're faced with these giants, we end up not just being able to move forward, but we end up reverting and going backwards. We go back into old habits, bad habits. And instead of living in our new identity, the new creation that we are, when we come to Christ, instead we revert back into our old nature and our old ways of doing things. Sometimes we end up wanting to quit and just give up altogether. Like the Israelites, they complained about their leaders. They blamed somebody else. Then they said it would have been better for us to have died in Egypt or here in the wilderness, so they're just giving up. Then they said it would be better if we went back to Egypt, back into slavery. And we often do this when we see the promises or we know the purposes for our lives, and we're faced with obstacles. We're faced with things that seem impossible to conquer. And so we do these things. We look for excuses to give up. We revert back to old patterns or old ways of doing things that only lead us back into slavery. If I'm being honest, at different times in my life, I've been very guilty of doing all three of these things. I've blamed others, I've blamed God, on a rare occasion, I'll blame myself. I've reverted back into old habits, old patterns. I've quit. I've wished I could go back. How often do we say, oh, the good old days? They're really not. And C.S. Lewis says, there are far, far better things that lie ahead than anything that is behind us. And God has been showing me over these last couple of months, and really more so within this last year, my lack of faith, my unbelief, my lack of trust. It's like I can hear God saying, Melody, how long? How long? When are you going to trust me? It's not like I haven't seen God move in my life in the past. It's not like I haven't witnessed him conquering giants, because I have. And just as God spoke to Moses, how long will they not trust in me despite the signs I have performed? God's like, Melody, how long will you not trust me? Haven't I shown you that I'm trustworthy? Have I not shown you that I have been faithful in keeping my word? Have I not walked with you through the valley? How long? And then we have that saying, and I've come to this place within probably the last 2 months, really around December, the middle of December. It's like I was starting to admit. The admittance is the first step to recovery. And I was like admitting, like, oh man, I'm like those Israelites, you know, just kill me now, or, you know, take me back. And I see these things in my life, and I see that lack of faith. And if something doesn't come easily for me, or things don't turn out or look the way that I think that they should, I often will give up. Or worse yet, I'll revert back into old patterns and old ways of thinking and old ways of doing things. And that it never ends well when we do that. Each of these areas in my life prevent me from moving forward into the purposes and promises that God has for me. None of the men, nor any of the Israelites that came out of Egypt enter into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb were the only two allowed to move forward and inherit the promise. And I think that that's a warning to all of us to take heed this morning, to not be like the Israelites, but to trust and have faith that if God has said that it's for us, that we can trust and believe that he will give it to us. Sometimes our giants can be our insecurities and our own feelings of inadequacy, having our eyes on ourselves, as the Israelites did, saying we look like grasshoppers to them. And not just that, but they're looking at us thinking the same thing. So we look too much to our own abilities or lack thereof, or we look too much to what others think or say about us, and once again fail to move forward into the promises and purposes of God. When Joshua and Caleb spied out the land, they were the only two out of the 10 leaders ready to take down those giants. Why? Because they weren't focused on themselves and their own abilities or lack thereof, nor were they focused on the giants of the land. Instead, they knew who their God was. Joshua and Caleb, they remembered the signs. They remembered that God was the one that brought them out of Egypt, that he was the one that opened the Red Sea and they walked through dry land. He was the one that provided food from heaven every day and brought water from the rock. They understood that if God was for them and with them, it didn't matter what giants laid in front of them. Their God was greater than their insecurities and inadequacies, and their God was certainly greater than their enemies. And oftentimes, it's just a matter of taking our eyes off of ourselves, off of our insecurities or feelings of inadequacies, and fixing our eyes on the one who parted the Red Sea, who makes a way where there is no way. Moses did not part the Red Sea, but God did require him to lift up his staff and stretch forth his hand over the sea. And as he lifted his staff and stretched out his hand in faith, God opened the waters for the Israelites to walk through on dry ground. So courage means move forward in spite of the Red Seas that lie in front of us. Courage means sometimes calling out to somebody, a friend, somebody that you need and a little help from, saying, hey, Vic, bring me my brown pants. Quick. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Thank you. All right. So sometimes this is what it means. Sorry, I'm going to have an easier time, hopefully, of getting these on. So courage means I might need to put on these brown pants again. Knowing and trusting, oops, I think I'm losing the mic. Knowing and trusting and moving forward anyway, that just as God was with and for Joshua, I can trust and have faith that God is with and for me. Oftentimes when I'm going through a difficult time, the first thing I think is, God, you're not for me. I believe the lie of the enemy, that God, you're against me, this world is against me, everybody's against me. You kind of get in one of those never-ending cycles of just doubt and lack of faith and depression. And it's like, no, God, I might not feel you, I might not see you in this moment, but I'm going to step out. Because you said this is for me, and because you said it's for me, it's for me. And if you've said that it's not for me, then I'm going to walk in the other direction, because the enemy will trap you in that place if you walk into something that the Lord hasn't given to you. You can read that in the book of Joshua, too. But it means we keep moving forward. And I use this with the teens, and I hope it doesn't offend you, but sometimes you might have a little bit of poop dripping down your leg there, but you keep moving forward in spite of that. You're scared. You move forward. You even maybe are doubting, like, is this from the Lord? Or is, you know, it's like, but you know, but God, I heard you speak that to me. I heard you say that to me. So don't allow the enemy to come in and start to just get you to doubt just a little bit. That's what he did from the very beginning with Eve. He said, did God really say? He began to create doubts and unbelief in her mind. And that's what he does to us, and then prevents us from going forward. And so I'm going to take these off now. But we can either focus on our own inadequacies, our shortcomings, and our fears, and become discouraged, and we can just quit altogether. Or we can continue to see that God is bigger than our inadequacies, that he is bigger than our insecurities, and he is bigger than the giants that we face. And where there are red seas in our lives, God says, I will make a way, even when there seems to be no way. So lift up your staff, stretch forth your hand, and you will walk forward into the place that once looked like a dead end. For Joshua, there were battles to be won. There were prostitutes to be saved. Her name was Rahab, and she was also in the lineage of Jesus. There were walls to be shouted down in Jericho. There was a day when he needed daylight to last just a little bit longer. And so he prayed to God that the sun would stand still. And we read it in chapter 10 that the sun stood still. And it was recorded that there has never been a day like it before or since, a day where the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Be strong and courageous means it's time to take action. There's no more sitting still. Just as it was time for Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land, it is time for us to enter into the purposes and the promises of God for our lives. We can't enter in without faith. We can't enter in without stretching forth our hands and lifting up our staffs. Faith without deeds is what? Dead. Faith without deeds is dead. It's not either or, it's both and. We can't be sure to face giants, but just as God was with and for Joshua, he is with and for us. And if he is for us, then nobody or nothing can stand against us. Amen. Be strong and courageous. My second point, stay in God's word. Stay in God's presence. God says to Joshua a second time in verse 7, above all, Joshua, most importantly, Joshua was not a successful leader because he was perfect or because he got it right all the time, although he was very close. He was an incredible leader. Or because he was one of the Avengers with some, you know, superpower, some magical power. Sometimes we think, you know, it's all about, no. It was because Joshua had the courage to stand for what he believed in and who he believed in. Joshua was successful because of what we read about him in Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. The place where scripture tells us that God would speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. Joshua would not leave that place. He stayed in the presence of God. He didn't turn away from God's word. In chapter 8, we read that Joshua copied the law of Moses, meaning he rewrote it down and read it aloud. In verse 35 says, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before the entire assembly of Israel. It was important to him. God promised Joshua he would be prosperous and he would succeed in whatever he did as long as he kept God's word and remained in his presence, meditating day and night, carefully observing everything Moses had written down and instructed him to do. And I know that this is a time, a day and age, where it can be scary to say you're a Christian. And I know it's not like what it is. I was just listening to a podcast recently of a man who works for Open Doors, and they work with underground churches in Iraq, Syria, in the Middle East, and in Africa, where it's dangerous to actually be a Christian. And the guy interviewing said, okay, so what does it look like for somebody to come to Christ? Like, what does their life, you know, what does it entail? And he says, well, it entails them risking their lives. Like, they can, if they come from a very strict Muslim family, then they'll probably be executed. They'll be killed. If they're not as strict, then they'll be excommunicated, exiled. And so, I mean, those are this is happening now. But they're coming to Jesus in a miraculous way. A lot of them are having visions, which is very common in the Middle East. That's not a weird thing. But they have visions, and then they're reading the scripture, and it's just coming alive. It's really, really neat what's happening in those underground churches there. But for here in the U.S., in the West here, it's for different reasons. You know, people say that the Bible and Christianity just needs to catch up with the times. But reality is, the Bible's always been countercultural. It has always gone against the grain when it comes to sexual ethics, when it comes to power, when it comes to money, when it comes to singleness, when it comes to marriage, the poor, the rich. The Bible's never gone with the culture. I know that sometimes we can feel alone, like we're the only ones that believe this. And we live in a day and age where if you do disagree with someone's politics or lifestyle, you're considered to be harmful and hateful. But the truth is that you can disagree with someone and their lifestyle choices and still love and respect them. And in fact, Jesus teaches us to not just love our friends, but we're to love our enemies as well. Tim Keller says, tolerance isn't about not having beliefs. It's about how your beliefs lead you to treat people who disagree with you. Let me say that again. Tolerance isn't about not having beliefs. It's about how your beliefs lead you to treat people who disagree with you. Sometimes we're afraid to say we're Christians because we may be labeled homophobic. Again, that's not true. We may be labeled a weirdo if you're single because you're not having sex outside the context of marriage. I'm a single 40-year-old girl, woman now, almost 40, woman, and that pressure still is there. I have non-Christian friends, and the girls I work with, they tease me about it. And they're like, I don't know how you've gone so long without it, Melody. And I'm just like, okay, my response to them is, oh, and I see that sex is solving all your problems. I see that it's solving all of your relational issues that you have in your life. In fact, they're much more of a mess. Sex is not the be-all and end-all in life, and we know that. And that's not the point of my message, but I did want to say that. In Romans 12:2, Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It will take courage to not conform. Jim Hightower says, the opposite of courage is not cowardice, it is conformity. Even a dead fish can go with the flow. It's easy to do what everyone else is doing. Paul says, don't conform, but be transformed instead. It takes courage to take a stand for what you believe in. And transformation happens, as we know, just as Joshua stayed in God's presence, transformation happens when we stay in God's presence. Transformation happens when we meditate on God's word, when we don't give up easily, when we actually plow through the difficult obstacles that are in front of us. Hebrews 4:12 in the J.B. Phillips translation says, for the word that God speaks is alive and active. It cuts more keenly than any two-edged sword. It strikes through to the place where soul and spirit meet, to the innermost intimacies of a man's being. It exposes the very thoughts and motives of a man's heart. God's word speaks and it cuts deep into the places of our hearts and conscience that no one else knows or sees. And just like a surgeon, he cuts to heal. God's word cuts us to the core in order that we may be transformed and healed and made whole. It takes courage to be different. It takes courage to go to the doctor. It takes courage to go under the knife. It's not easy when you feel like you don't belong or fit in all the time. It takes courage to think differently than everyone else around you. When Jesus came on the scene, he encountered sinners all the time. He did not conform and say, "Eh, it's okay. Just keep living however you're living." No, he confronted them, but he confronted them in such a way that it brought them to their knees saying, "Oh God, surely you are the Son of God. And what must I do? What must I do to be saved?" That was their response. So we're getting it wrong somehow when we're telling people about Jesus and we're confronting them. When we read about Joshua in Exodus 33, staying in God's presence, do you remember what the Israelites, his buddies, his friends, what they were all doing? They were making an idol out of their gold, worshiping it, and saying, "This is the God that brought us out of Egypt." Joshua was not doing what everyone else was doing, nor was he in the place where everyone else was. He was in God's presence. He wasn't making up a new God to fit his way of thinking and his way of living because he was fed up with the way God was or wasn't working according to his needs and desires. He remained loyal to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He remained loyal to the God that really did bring them out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. Some of you might remember that old song we used to sing. And then when I was preparing this message, it came to my mind, "I Have Decided." I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And then he said, and then we sing the line that says, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." Be like Joshua. Stay in God's presence. Stay in his word. His word is truth, and there is no truth outside of it. Don't turn back. Don't turn to these other gospels, lowercase g, that are trying to be fed us. There is one gospel. My last point this morning, be strong and courageous. I am with you wherever you go. God is saying to Joshua, don't lose confidence in me. I'm with you through it all. And that's what the word discouraged actually means. When God says, do not be afraid or discouraged, that word discouraged means don't lose, that you've lost confidence. But God is saying, don't lose confidence in me. I'm with you. Joshua was about to lead the Israelites into the land filled with giants, going from one battle to another. And halfway through those battles in chapters 8 and 10, God reminds Joshua once again, do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord has purposes and plans for you to fulfill before you leave this earth. And as you continue throughout your earthly life, just as God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous, God speaks these same words to us today because his word is alive. Knowing that we need that same courage and strength Joshua needed while moving forward into the purposes and promises that God had for him, we need that same strength and we need that same courage to move forward in the purposes and promises that God has for us. We will face giants and we will fight battles and our faith will be tested and we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We will feel like we're the only ones that believe this way. Life will get unfair at times, but through all of it, God says to you and to me, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think I may have shared the story before, but during my divorce, I had a really particular bad day. It was a Tuesday, it was my day off, and I really honestly thought I could end up in a mental institution. I was that distraught and that overwhelmed with just a lot of emotions and didn't quite know how to handle them. And so I remember saying to the Lord that morning, I need to have a word from you. I need to hear from you because I don't know how I'm going to make it through the rest of this day. And I ended up calling my dad and saying, hey, you know, Dad, this is what's going on. You know, I need a word. Or, you know, I don't even remember exactly what I said. But he had reminded me of a scripture verse that he had given to me not too long prior. And I kind of shrugged it off, blew it off, because it was something that he had already spoken to me before. So I was like, no, I need something new, God. I need a fresh word. And anyway, went out with my day. It was changing Sid's diaper, and my sister called me. And my, you know, she reads sometimes, but not often. But she said, Melody, I was doing my devotions this morning, and I came across this particular passage, and I think it's for you. And it was the same exact passage of scripture my dad had shared with me that morning, just a few hours prior. And the Lord was reminding me in that moment, Melody, I see you. I'm here with you. I haven't forgotten about you, and I'm going to get you through it. And so the Lord reminded me in those moments that he spoke a word to me, a scripture verse that he spoke to me back in my middle school years that I held on to from Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close or draws near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. And I was broken, and I was crushed in that moment, and he promised, and he did what he promised. He drew near, and he saved me. And when we're broken, and when life crushes us, and if it hasn't yet, just wait, it will. Good news. He will draw near in those moments, and he will save you. And God does not go back on his promises. At the end of Joshua's life, chapter 21, verses 43 to 45, it says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side according to all he had sworn to their fathers. None of their enemies were able to stand against them, for the Lord handed over all their enemies to them. None of the good promises the Lord made to the house of Israel failed. Everything was fulfilled. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for none of the good promises the Lord gives you will fail. Everything, not some things. The word doesn't say some things will be fulfilled. Half of this will be fulfilled. No, everything was fulfilled. The only way through a difficult and painful time in our lives is to just keep walking through until you get to the other side. And sometimes that means you put on the brown pants, you call out to a friend. Nobody can walk that for us. Nobody can walk the path for us. Someone, you know, we always want the easy, want to hit the easy button. Just that, there, nope, no. Because then we don't become the people that God intended us to be unless we walk through. Psalm 23, we know it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. I memorized that as a kid, but it wasn't until I actually walked through the valley of the shadow of death that I understood, and that brought me comfort. Like, okay, I'm not alone. Elizabeth Elliot, she says, she lost two husbands. So she was not just widowed once, but twice. She said, Of one thing I am perfectly sure, God's story never ends with ashes. Our stories don't end with ashes, and that's encouraging. What does true courage look like? It looks like you still moving forward in spite of the giants and the battles that you're facing. It looks like you standing firm and staying true to God's word and staying in his presence and not conforming to what everyone else is doing or saying, but instead being transformed into the men and the women that God has always intended for you to become. It looks like you trusting and believing that God will see you through to the end. And not just that, but he will be with you through the good, the bad, the ugly, the valley of the shadow of death, where you fear nothing. Why? The scripture says, because you are with me. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know. For me, these last several months, it's been difficult to just feel hopeful or like I said, the thing that God's been saying to me is, Melody, how long will you not trust in me? I'm like turning back and God's like, where are you going? I'm like, but it's too hard. Or I don't see the path. You know, that's the other thing. You don't see it working out, and you become discouraged, and then you begin to doubt God's promises or God's purposes, and you feel like, oh, I have no purpose really because I'm not seeing how this is working out. And so you just stop altogether. You just quit. And God has been encouraging me, even as I was preparing this message, I was writing it out. I'm like, oh, yeah, keep going, Mel, keep going. You know, Dad always quotes that famous poem, plot on, plot on, plot on. It's kind of like that. You just keep moving forward. And there are purposes and plans and things for us to fulfill before we leave this earth. There are. Some things we will pass on to the next generation to complete, but it will begin with us. And part of them completing it is because we passed it on. And so we have to be faithful in doing that. But I hope that you're encouraged this morning. I know it wasn't as lively as the youth rally. Kind of brought it down a little bit. I don't know if that was a good thing. Probably a bad thing. But,
no, it's okay.
But you know, this. I hope that you guys are encouraged to just, you know, hear the word of the Lord. Be strong and courageous. And don't give up. I know that God's with you. Stay in his word. And if you're feeling discouraged or fearful, or maybe, you know, I don't know if anybody wants prayer this morning, you can. I'll be up here. But, you know, don't allow the giants to overshadow. Don't feel like a grasshopper, but rise up and know who you are in Christ. And he is a conqueror. He conquered death. And that same power that raised him lives in me. Amen. All right. Pray. So, Lord, I do thank you for this word, and I thank you for your word that's still alive and still speaks to us today. God, I pray that we would learn, as Joshua did, to stay in your presence, to know that, you know, the world has its ideas of success and what that looks like, but in your eyes, success is remaining in you and staying in you and staying true to what you have spoken. I thank you, Lord, that... God, I pray right now, even for those underground churches, the ones that are risking their lives to come to you, I pray for strength. God, I pray that they would grow so big they wouldn't even know what to do, where to meet anymore, because they've outgrown the buildings that they're meeting in. Encourage them, Lord, this morning. I pray for your people here that, God, maybe they just need a little encouragement to keep on going, to put one foot in front of the other, to have some faith. God, they're seeing the Red Sea in front of them thinking this is a dead end. We have to go back. I can't go forward. God, I pray that you would encourage them to look at it as what it is that is you have placed within their own hands. And they would stretch forth their hands and say, okay, God, I'm going to trust and believe in you. I've seen you work before, and you'll work again. And so we love you, and we thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.